You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Scott Engel, the managing director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy, and welcome, as always, every morning. We're here 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern, bringing you the latest in fantasy sports and what's to come. It's a very busy news day in the National Football League, including overnight hearing from Peter King of Monday Morning Quarterback on Sports Illustrated that Le'Veon Bell could indeed be on the move. And what team did Peter King say that he guesses might be able to secure Le'Veon Bell's services if he does not return to the Pittsburgh Steelers? We'll talk about another running back that we've talked about a lot already this week, and it's just 2 days old, that will be a free agent and could end up being a starting running back somewhere else. In fact, maybe he was listening to the channel because that he said that's exactly what he wants. There were a lot of coaching news yesterday in the National Football League. We'll cover that. Officially, two head coaches were announced yesterday, and we've been speculating on this for a while, and another third seems to be in the catbird seat to take another job after the Super Bowl ends. We'll let you know the latest on Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady for the Super Bowl as well. In the NBA, it was a very, very exciting night. A lot of career and season-high performances, as well as a coach being let go. So we'll let you know all about that, give you a full recap of last night in the NBA as well. Also, some National Hockey League news. Not a lot going on in the hot stove. The latest Yu Darvish rumor, there seems to be a different one every day. Yesterday it was Milwaukee. Today it's someone else. We'll also get into some more fantasy baseball because today is the second day of the Fantasy Sports Trade Association Conference out in Los Angeles at the Westin Hotel. Yesterday was the first day of the conference, and they continued the Fantasy Sports Trade Association draft last night, and they've made it through 18 rounds at this point in an unusual move. They actually started the first 8 rounds online this year and then picked up in round 9 yesterday, and they made it through about 18 rounds, and now it's going to get back to a slow draft. So they went from slow draft to in-person draft back to slow draft. For those of you waiting, the FSTA will announce its 2018 awards in 3 installments today at the FSTA conference. The first installment of the FSTA Awards will kick off at 1:30 p.m. local time in Los Angeles, so that's 4:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm sure everybody will be watching that on the FSTA's Twitter account. And, of course, we will maybe give you some of the picks from that draft as well. In esports, League of Legends, the NALCS is done for the first week. You can expect some coverage and a lot to look forward to from Zareen T on Sports Grid this week. And make sure you listen to 1-2 Punch tonight with Zareen T. She'll give you a full wrap from the NALCS. For those of you who don't know what that means, that is the North American League of Legends Championship Series. The Overwatch League will resume on Wednesday. And last night, we had a Super Smash Brothers champion crowned last night in Genesis 5. That's Super Smash Brothers Melee, actually. I'm thinking back of the older game, which my son used to play a lot. But a new Super Smash Brothers Melee champion crowned last night. We'll let you know about that towards the end of the show. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. NFL News is next.
Play Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Here with you 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning. I'm also on the Fantasy Sports News Desk from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern now every day with Tony Cincotta. And if you miss this show, you can always listen on demand on iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, etc. And I'm also on the Roto Experts Weekend Edition with Corey Parson and Mike Blewett every Saturday morning from 9 to noon. But you don't have to wake up at 6 a.m. Eastern always to listen to this show. If you want to sleep in and then get your fantasy fix, or what if you slept late and you woke up at 2 o'clock and you say, wow, I didn't know what happened last night. You can always listen on demand. And it's not just news. We're not just a news program, although that's what we're based in here on Fantasy Sports Today. The analysis is what you need. A fantasy sports news program is different than any other news program that you're going to experience because you need the analysis, and that's why you come here every morning. Busy day in the NFL. The reason why you wake up every morning here is because if you go to bed, you never know what you're going to wake up to, because about 11 o'clock last night, somebody asked Peter King on Twitter, King, the legendary reporter and analyst of the Monday Morning Quarterback on Sports Illustrated, somebody asked him on Twitter, what's your best guess for where Le'Veon Bell would end up if he doesn't stay with the Steelers? And Peter King's response was that he would expect Le'Veon Bell to go to the highest bidder. And the team that he mentioned to possibly take over Le'Veon Bell's services, he said he would watch for the Raiders to be the leading contender, which is very interesting. The Raiders trying to change the culture there. This is a team that really hasn't been a serious contender in about 15-plus years. Last year, maybe they would have went deeper into the playoffs if Derek Carr got injured, but it didn't happen. But that team has a lot of talent, and now they brought in John Gruden to try to resurrect the team after he hasn't coached in a decade. And Le'Veon Bell would be a major, major splash. Can you imagine that Raiders offense with Carr, Le'Veon Bell, and Amari Cooper, hopefully being more consistent, and Michael Crabtree? The team's got to learn to play defense. But from a fantasy perspective, this would be a very, very exciting roster. Everybody loves Le'Veon Bell because he's such part of such a exciting Pittsburgh roster. But Le'Veon Bell in Oakland would certainly be something exciting. And unfortunately, with the Raiders eventually moving to Las Vegas, something that the local fans wouldn't experience for too long. With something like this also comes the speculation about Marshawn Lynch. We'll get to that in a second. But Le'Veon Bell with the Raiders would go to a team with another very good offensive line, would certainly help Derek Carr throwing the ball out of the backfield. But there's going to be no shortage of suitors should Le'Veon Bell somehow leave Pittsburgh. The reports are that the Steelers expect to franchise tag him, but he doesn't want that. Maybe he'll hold out. But if any player is replaceable in that powerful Pittsburgh offense, it might be Le'Veon Bell. Running back is widely viewed as maybe the most replaceable position in the NFL. So it's going to be probably the top story to follow throughout the offseason. As for Marshawn Lynch, Lynch had a so-so year last season for the Raiders was able to get in the end zone often and play better down the stretch. Jody still has something left, but pretty much the same running back that you saw in the final year of the Seahawks tenure, but he was able to stay healthy. Lynch can still play. He's no longer an elite running back. Maybe the Raiders want to move on from him. He wasn't part of the John Gruden regime there. And if he doesn't come back with the Raiders, Marshawn Lynch might go back into retirement, and the next time we might see him is whether we're questioning whether he's actually going to make a Hall of Fame speech or not, which will be very interesting. The Minnesota Vikings dealing with the fallout of their NFC Championship game loss. Case Keenum telling reporters that he has been given no indication whether the Vikings are going to choose to bring him back at all. Meanwhile, Teddy Bridgewater told reporters that he definitely sees himself in the starter in 2018. So already the mad speculation has begun about what will happen next year in Minnesota. We'll talk about their offensive coordinator moving on. Keenum, as we talked about on this program, on the Fantasy News Desk, etc., Keenum's a guy that's certainly overachieved. He's going to be 30 next season. Regarded mostly as a journeyman quarterback until coming in this year when he really overachieved, especially during the regular season and the first round of the playoffs. But as you saw in the NFC Championship game, Keenum is a gunslinger and not an elite talent who can flame out and maybe not bring a team back in a big situation. Still, quarterback, there's a dearth of good starters out there. You have maybe half of the league has a starter they really feel they can depend on. You can argue about what that number is, but there's a lot of teams searching for quarterback help. That's a thinned out position. Case Keenum will start somewhere because he's at least an adequate starter for any NFL team. And depending on where he lands, that will determine his fantasy value. He can at least be a streamer next year. Keenum was something of a product play with very good wide receivers, a solid run game, and a very good defense. He was in the right spot. He became one of those game management types, but was also willing to throw the deep ball and take a risk. So he wasn't a pure game manager, but he was surrounded with all the right elements. Case Keenum lands somewhere else, and he doesn't have the right type of playmakers around him, I'm still going to be scared of what can happen with Case Keenum. He's just in a very good situation. Teddy Bridgewater, great to see him finally make it back from a major knee injury. Regarded overall as more talented than a guy like Keenum, but we really haven't seen much from him in his career. And, of course, Sam Bradford, who is going to be the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings next year. They've already showed they can win with Case Keenum, but who can they get to help them take their next step? There really isn't anything out there on free agency at all. The Vikings might be in a position where they have to bring back one of these three, get a different backup, let the other two go into free agency. But none of these three really strike you as players who can take a team to a Super Bowl or, more importantly, win a Super Bowl. I mean, heck, we've seen Nick Foles play now in a Super Bowl. We saw Rex Grossman lose a Super Bowl. We saw Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson win Super Bowls. We saw Blake Bortles go to the AFC Championship game. But to win it all, to face off against the likes of a Tom Brady in the Super Bowl or a championship game, you're going to need a guy that can make the plays. And Blake Bortles, Case Keenum were not able to make the plays. Drew Brees, wasn't his fault they lost this year. Matt Ryan wasn't able to make the plays, but still you'd rather have a Matt Ryan because he has made the plays in the past. He did get his team to a Super Bowl last year, which Nick Foles has done. But there's certainly a difference when anybody watches football that they know that certain guys are above average. And look, Case Keenum could end up in a Super Bowl. Nick Foles could end up in a Super Bowl, but the odds are pretty much against it. You can never say never about any quarterback taking his team to a Super Bowl, but I can't believe any organization would feel supremely confident with a Case Keenum or a Blake Bortles if they want to go to a Super Bowl. We've already seen with Blake Bortles that he could not make a play in the second half when he had to, and that's the big difference there. So moving on to other news with the Vikings, we've been talking about how Jerick McKinnon is going to be a free agent, and he told reporters that he'd prefer to be a featured back next year. I would look for him to certainly get that opportunity somewhere. He's versatile, and he can run the ball and catch it. He's not a good back in the red zone, though, so I could see him maybe being the lead back out of a two-guy set and maybe somebody physical to compliment him with. Some other player news. The Boston Herald said the Patriots are optimistic that Rob Gronkowski will be able to play in the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady is expecting to get the stitches in his hand removed this week, according to ESPN. We'll talk about coaching changes next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel, and let's get into some more NFL news. The Giants hired former Vikings offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur as the head coach. Shurmur, last time we saw him as a head coach, he was not so successful with the Cleveland Browns, but then again, who has been successful with the Cleveland Browns? He lost 23 of 32 games from 2011, from 2012. But in 2013, he moved on to the Philadelphia Eagles and repaired his reputation. That year, he led an offense that set Eagles records for points, total net yards, touchdowns, passing yards, and fewest turnovers. The team won the NFC East title. This past season, he led the offenses. He was responsible for the Vikings having the number 11 offense in the National Football League. So he has repaired his reputation since 2012, and now he gets another shot here with the Giants. Hopefully, for Giants fans who suffered through Ben McAdoo, he will show that now he is more ready to be a head coach. Or again, we'll find out if he's just one of those guys who's better off as a coordinator. Shurmur has a big chance here. This was a highly sought-after job. He'll have a healthy Odell Beckham. I doubt Case Keenum will be coming with him to the Giants unless there is some sort of major blow-up. GM Dave Gettleman's already indicated that he wants Eli Manning back. So step in the right direction for here for the Giants as they try to get back on track. Healthy Odell Beckham Jr. next year, and we'll see what they do with the running game. The Cardinals hire former Panthers defensive coordinator Steve Wilks as their head coach. He led the number 7 ranked defense this past year in his 1 year as a coordinator. He was mostly a defensive backs guy before then, getting kind of elevated quickly to a head coaching position here. It was highly sought after. And according to Arizona Central Sports, he is expected to name Panthers linebackers coach Al Holcomb as their defensive coordinator. Those guys, two guys obviously working very closely with each other in Carolina. This is what happens when you have success. Your coaches get poached. Then they end up going elsewhere. Carolina, we'll see whether they promote from within or what they do. But they still have a lot of talent there. Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, etc. So they should be fine. A very good front seven. They're going to have to work on that back end. Todd Haley was not out of a job for long. despite all the fire that he came under this past week, and that he's come off of in Pittsburgh and Arizona. The Browns named him as their offensive coordinator. Haley had a lot to work with and got the results. Number 3 overall offense this year. Some Browns fans may not like this, but this team just wants to get back to respectability, and Haley could be a step in the right direction. You don't want to start saying, if you're a Browns fan, well, you know, look at the play calls that he blew in the clutch, etc. I think you want to get to a point where maybe even contending from a playoff berth, and, you know, this could be a step in the right direction if there's no personality conflicts that have long been an unfortunate part of the Todd Haley story, at least from an outside speculation perspective. The Jets, according to ESPN, will promote quarterback coach Jeremy Bates to offensive coordinator after they got rid of John Morton. The Jets' offense, passing offense, ranking 24th last year, so this is a bit of a quizzical hire. According to Sports Illustrated, the Patriots are expected to promote linebackers coach Brian Flores to defensive coordinator when all the coaching fallout happens at the end of the season and Matt Patricia goes elsewhere. The Titans starting to clean house under new head coach Mike Vrabel. They fired offensive coordinator Terry Rubisky. The Titans offense was ranked 23rd in the NFL last year. The Tennessean reporting that Dick LeBeau will not be retained. Both the offense and the defense were considered underachievers last year. The defense ranking 13. LeBeau, he's up there in age, so we'll see if he gets another chance. The Cowboys hired former Seahawks defensive coordinator Chris Richard as their defensive backs coach and passing game coordinator. Maybe a smart move here by Dallas. Richard had to deal with a lot of injuries this past season, was kind of in over his head in terms of that. He had the injuries to Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, Cliff Avril. It was kind of hard for the Seahawks to be better than 11th in defense when you consider everything that they went through on that back end. And a smart move by Dallas. Richard was started out as the secondary coach for the Seahawks during the Carroll era, was the defensive backs coach when the team went to 2 Super Bowls. The Cowboys could certainly use some fine-tuning on the back of the end of their defense, and this is a smart hire. The Cardinals are also going to interview ex-Seahawks offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell for their offensive coordinator position as well. That was reported early yesterday. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Scott Engel. A little bit of NHL coming up, some esports coming up, but we have a lot to report for the National Basketball Association. But before we do that, I have a question to ask you. Are you thinking of giving DFS a try? Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls every week. Free entry. Simply sign up and enter at www.fantasyfactor.com. That's www.fantasyfactor.com. In the NBA, before we go on to what happened last night, as I edit myself on the air, the Milwaukee Bucks fired head coach Jason Kidd yesterday. Assistant Joe Prunty coached the team last night in a 109-105 win over Phoenix. According to ESPN, he's expected to be named the interim coach. The Bucks, with a lot of talent, were underachieving, according to a lot of opinions, at just 24-22 after last night. They were the number 8 seed in the Eastern Conference coming in last night, and when you have the amount of talent that they do, it just didn't seem acceptable. They had lost 4 or 5 games entering last night's win against Phoenix. Kidd's record as a Bucks coach, head coach, was 139-152. He led the team to 2 playoff appearances, but just wasn't getting it done. Reportedly, Giannis Antetokounmpo was upset about this, and before the firing came down, asked Kidd, according to the ESPN report, if there was anything that he could do to help prevent this, but obviously there wasn't. Antetokounmpo missed the his second consecutive game last night, and he won't be back till Friday as he deals with an ankle injury. Milwaukee was still able to pull off the win with some good performances. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But some house cleaning here with some injuries. Otto Porter, after just 22 minutes last night and 4 points and 6 rebounds, left the game against Dallas with a right hip strain, and he did not return. No extra news on that yet. Kevin Love did not play on Monday because of an illness, but is expected to play tonight. Devin Harris did not play last night as he is still in the concussion protocol. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was not playing last night because of an arm injury. Kenneth Faried sat out yesterday with an ankle injury. And Kyle Kuzma is questionable for the banged-up Lakers for tonight with a hand injury. Let's tell you some of the highlights. And it was no bigger highlight than DeMarcus Cousins last night as New Orleans beat Chicago in a high-scoring game, 132-28. Listen to this line. Probably the best game of DeMarcus Cousins' career. Well, obviously, you're going to think that when I give you the numbers. 52 minutes, 44 points, 10 rebound, 10 assists, 24 rebounds. DeMarcus Cousins with a historic night last night. I hope you used him in daily. DeMarcus Cousins became the first player since the legendary Wilt Chamberlain in 50 years. Chamberlain did that in 68 to have a 40-20-10 outing. Congratulations to you if you own DeMarcus Cousins in seasonal or if you played him in daily. Blake Griffin, he's healthy again. The Clippers lost to Minnesota 126-118. But Blake Griffin with his second triple-double of the year, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. He was 2-for-8 from three-point range. Maybe that was the only bad thing about Blake Griffin last night. Jamal Murray last night with a career-high 38 points in 34 minutes, 14 of 19 from the field, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Anthony Davis actually was overshadowed last night by Cousins, 34 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. We let you know that Giannis Antetokounmpo was out last night. So it was Chris Middleton stepping forward in a big way with his best game of the season in that win over Phoenix, 35 points and 6 rebounds, 13 of 19 from the field. With Jimmy Butler out, the Minnesota Timberwolves needed a bunch of guys to step forward. And Andrew Wiggins last night certainly did. He had a season-high 40 points, 16 of 28 from the field, 6 rebounds. We'll tell you who else stepped up for the Bucks last night as we tackle more of the NBA next here on Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
here on Fantasy Sports Today. Told you about the Milwaukee Bucks. Malcolm Brogdon last night with a career night, a 32 points, and he shot 11 for 14 from the field, so he stepped forward as well. Jeff Teague with a career-high 30 points from Minnesota last night. Everybody stepping forward and doing a nice job as the Clippers were missing Jimmy Butler. He shot 16 from 17 from the line. Kemba Walker continues to be surrounded by trade rumors, but continues to do his thing. 26 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists as Charlotte beat Sacramento. Hassan Whiteside has played so well recently in a loss to Houston. 22 points, 13 rebounds. Damian Lillard looking healthy, 25 points, 8 assists. Yusuf Nurkic playing against his former team in a loss, 19 points, 12 rebounds. Dwight Howard, 14 points, 16 rebounds as Charlotte beat Sacramento. Greg Monroe, who was moved into the starting lineup and played for the first time in 3 games. We talked about that on the Fantasy News Desk. 19 points and 7 rebounds. Monroe's value is going to increase here as he probably will remain in the starting lineup for the Suns. James Harden starting to look a little bit more like himself with 28 points, but only 2 rebounds and 5 assists. Scott Labissiere, 23 points last night. Also, Lauri Markkanen with a career-high 17 rebounds for the Chicago Bulls and 14 points, one of the best rookies that we've seen this year. Ty Warren, 23 points for Phoenix. Montrezl Harrell continuing to have a step forward with DeAndre Jordan now, 23 points, 6 rebounds. Robin Lopez for Chicago, 22 points, a little bit of what you expect from him normally. Chris Paul with 16 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. The number's down a little bit now with Harden back. Lou Williams last night, 20 points, 7 assists. Tyreke Evans from Memphis as they beat Philly 105-101. Overall, the Grizzlies played a little bit better recently. Tyreke Evans, what a grand passing big man he is. 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists. So those are the highlights from last night. Jamal Murray with a career high in points. Jeff T career high. Andrew Wiggins with a season high. Also, Jerry Grant had a career high with 12 assists. We mentioned Markkanen and Brogdon. So a night of many, many highlights in the NBA. Very, very busy night. So we'll tell you what's going to come tonight in the National Basketball Association. We'll have the National Hockey League up in just a minute. And we'll have a little bit of esports news for you here as well. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for Tuesday, June 23rd. If you missed the show live, you can always listen on demand. So tonight, a lighter night in the National Basketball Association. Only 5 games on the schedule. It tips off tonight at 7 o'clock with a game that probably not a lot of people are going to be watching on NBA League Pass. The Kings are at the Magic. The line is Orlando minus 6.5. The over-under is 213.5. The Nets are at the Thunder. The line is the Thunder by 10.5. The over-under is 214. Spencer Dinwiddie has been a really nice fantasy player lately. On TNT, the game of the night will pit the Cavaliers against the Spurs. The line is San Antonio minus 1.5. The over-under is 208.5. Cleveland has lost 9 of its last 12 and will not make any changes to its lineup, according to Tyronn Lue. The Spurs, without Kawhi Leonard now for who knows how long, Tony Parker has been moved out of the starting lineup, and you know it's all going to be all about LaMarcus Aldridge and whatever else tonight. The Knicks will take on the Warriors tonight. The Knicks are 6-17 away from home. Safe to say they'll probably be 6-18 after tonight. The line is Golden State minus 14. The over-under is 227.5. Kevin Durant probably going to be very highly owned on DraftKings tonight. 10:30 p.m. Eastern, second game of a doubleheader on TNT will pit two historic franchises against each other. The Celtics will take on the Lakers. Lakers very banged up. The Celtics getting Kyrie Evans back for their last game, and he scored 40 points. The over-under is 208.5, and the line is Boston minus 4.5. Let's move on to Major League Baseball. Not a lot going on in the hot stove area. According to FanRec Sports, the Giants signed Austin Jackson to a two-year, $6 million contract. Last year, Austin Jackson hit .318 with 7 home runs and 35 RBIs and 280 at-bats. If you're thinking that maybe the San Francisco Giants are settling for this guy because they couldn't get who they wanted in center field, published reports are indicating that he'll probably be the fourth outfielder for the team. They've been linked to guys like Jared Dyson, Billy Hamilton, which has died out. Lorenzo Cain most recently was reported to be their number one target in free agency. The Associated Press with the latest on Yu Darvish, and when it comes from the AP, it's definitely got some clout behind it. The Associated Press saying the Cubs are having active talks with representatives for Yu Darvish. According to ESPN, Darvish has at least 1 5-year offer on the table. They did not cite what team it was from, but Darvish is still the biggest name out there in free agency in terms of pitching. We have not heard yet whether JD Martinez is going to be finalizing with the Red Sox. This has been one of the slowest off seasons I can ever recall, maybe the slowest ever in terms of big names still being out there. We're getting closer to spring training, and you could see some of these guys maybe walk into the complex in spring training, because guys like Scott Boras are going to hold out for every dollar that they can. Some of the owners seem to be waiting for the prices to drop on these guys. So it's going to be very, very dicey as to when these guys report possibly. So that's it for Major League Baseball. No real news. Make sure you continue to listen to the Tout Wars Hour right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And also FanReg Fantasy Baseball with Al Melchior. Al is here consistently. Great guests that he gets, including guys like John Heyman, to bring you all the latest. In the National Hockey League, Taylor Hall is going to miss at least two games for the Devils because of a hand injury. He missed the first of those two games last night. And we'll give you some other things that were happening in the National Hockey League here in just a minute. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Scott Engel, and I give you the latest in fantasy sports every single morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern. You can always listen on demand on iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom. There's lots of ways to listen. If you woke up late and you want to get started on your day, you want to tune in just for the analysis, because we're not a lot more than just a news program. Boston Bruins rookie Charlie McAvoy was treated for an abnormal heart rhythm and is expected to need about 2 weeks to recover. He first reported heart palpitations to team doctors on November 26th and was diagnosed with an abnormally fast heart rate. The team internist, David Finn, according to the Associated Press, says it's not considered dangerous, but is likely to recur. McAvoy was treated Monday, and he made his NHL debut during last year's playoffs this season. He has 5 goals and 20 assists in 45 games. In Monday's National Hockey League action, it was the Red Wings 3 and the Devils nothing, as Peter Mrazek had 37 saves as he posted his second straight shutout and third of the season. Tyler Bertuzzi, David Booth, and Dylan Larkin scored for the Red Wings. They stopped a 2-game losing streak, winning for just the second time in 6 games. Corey Schneider, sidelined 2 of the last 3 games with an illness, was back, and he made 27 saves for the Devils, who have now not been able to win in 8 of their last 10 games. During that stretch, they're 2-5-3. The Avalanche 4 and the Maple Leafs 2, as Blake Blake Cormier scored the go-ahead goal with 7:43 left, and Colorado won it at Toronto to extend its winning streak to 10 games. And Gabriel Bork and Neil Yapikoff also scored for the Avalanche. They are now 27-16-3. They have now made their way into a crowded race for the two Western Conference wild cards. Jonathan Bernier made 27 saves for his ninth straight win in place of the injured Semyon Varlamov, who we told you about this past week. Let's move on to what's going on in the fantasy industry. As we mentioned in the top of the show, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association Conference is now going on in Los Angeles. Today is the second day. The Fantasy Sports Trade Association 2018 baseball draft usually signals the beginning of the fantasy baseball season. They did something unusual this year. They did the first 8 rounds online this year and then picked up some of the drafting last night and made it all the way to the 18th round. And now they're going back into slow draft mode. As far as the FSTA awards, the 2017 awards are going to be announced today in 3 sessions in Los Angeles. They're going to break them out for the first time into 3 sessions. The first session will start at 1:30 p.m. Eastern local time. So right around, say, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, you could start checking the FSTA Twitter for the FSTA awards for 2018. The FSWA awards are going to be announced in February 6th. Sometimes there's confusion between the FSTA and the FSWA. The FSTA is the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, the governing body of the industry. The Fantasy Sports Writers Association is the writers' union, if you will, for those who write about fantasy sports. Don't get too confused, but some many often do. We'll give you an esports update. Who is the best Super Smash Brothers Melee player in the world right now? We'll tell you that next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. PWN.gg is a site that provides all the odds and statistics for esports betting. The site examines players, maps, and teams to provide in-depth statistics for bettors. And they have a special promo code for today's listeners. Go to PWN.gg, and if you use promo code 12PUNCH, that's promo code 12PUNCH, you'll get 50% off a 12-month subscription as well as a free 2-week trial. So make sure you go check it out at pwn.gg. And why was 12PUNCH the promo code? Because our brand-new show here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 12PUNCH with Zareen T, that's tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. Zareen will have a lot to talk about. The first week of the League of Legends season this past weekend, as well as the Boston Major coming up the end of this month. So make sure you listen to 12PUNCH with Zareen T tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern. And if you miss it live, you can always catch it on demand. Maybe Zareen will be talking about last night's Genesis 5 Super Smash Brothers Melee tournament in what Game Tyrant is terming as one of the most spectacular performances that we've seen in recent history. As at Genesis 5, Justin Pluck, Plup McGrath actually took out two of the top-ranked players in Super Smash Bros. Melee, made it to the grand finals, and then one knocked out Juan Hungrybox DeBeatema. Along the way, he took out Joseph Mango 8 Marquez and Adam Armada Lingen, and Game Tyrant is terming this as a historic victory, and this event was chock full of surprises. And you can check out more on this at GameTyrant.com, ESPN, etc. for all the results from that tournament as well. And make sure you listen to Zareen T tonight on 1-2 Punch. Back to fantasy sports. We were telling you about the FSTA trade conference, the Fantasy Sports Trade Association Fantasy Baseball Draft. For those of you who did not hear what went down in the first round yet, Mike Trout, of course, was the number one pick by Jim Bowden of Fantasy Alarm. Steve Gardner of USA Today took Jose Altuve at number two. Charlie Wiegert, the godfather of fantasy sports, took Nolan Arenado at number three. Roto Baller gets Paul Goldschmidt at number four. RotoWire, Derek Van Riper, decides to go heavy on Trey Turner, has the confidence in stolen bases with him at number five. Greg Ambrosius and Tom Kesenick of the NFBC with the confidence in Bryce Harper for a big rebound year at number six. Fantastics taking Chris Bryant at number seven. Scout Fantasy taking Mookie Betts at number eight. I really like Baseball's HQ tabbing of Charlie Blackmon at number nine. Giancarlo Stanton makes it back into the first round as Jeff Manns and Ted Schuster take him at number 10. Carlos Correa, still one of the best shortstops in fantasy baseball. Maybe you don't get the speed quite you used to, but you got to like everything else. He goes to Fantasy Alarm's Howard Bender at number 11. Ray Flowers takes Joey Votto at number 12. Clayton Kershaw, the first pitcher off the board to Lawyer Michaels of the Tout Wars Hour and CreativeSports.com. He took Clayton Kershaw at number 13. And then right after that, Colton and the Wolfman and Stacy Stern took Max Scherzer. And then it was three straight pitchers in a row as the beginning of the second round. They went back-to-back and actually started Scherzer and Kluber. And their first hitter was Jose Abreu in the third round. You'll hear a lot more about the FSTA draft on this channel throughout the week. More baseball. We're getting closer to spring training. The Roto Experts is next with Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, and Matt Modica here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.